This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simeon has just scored. Seager at third, Garcia at first, and Lowe crunches one to deep center. Robert going back. He's at the track. It's gone! Into the Chicago bullpen and opposite field. Three-run home run for Nathaniel Lowe. The Rangers lead 10-2.
Nate Lowe reaches 300 career RBI, made it 302 after a 4 RBI performance. Everyone got in on the party last night as your Texas Rangers starting to feel the momentum even out here in California with Sean, RJ, and Bobby on the road for Cowboys camp for the next week and a half. 10-2, the champs destroy the Chicago White Sox. They've won 4 straight. They've won 11 of 15. Even Adolis Garcia snapping out of it with 3 hits. Corey Seager had 4 hits, including a home run. And Nathan Eovaldi with 10 strikeouts. He went 7. 2 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, the first 10-plus strikeout game of the season, his second as a Ranger, 8th of his career, according to Sandler. He also became the first Ranger ever with 30 or more strikeouts and 0 walks over a 5-game span. That only increases the trade value, which, RJ Choppy, you were doing some homework on when it came to the market.
Yeah, so I just went back and looked at last year's trade deadline, and I was going to think, you know, is Eovaldi going to get a top 50, top 20, top 100 prospect? And if you now listen, last year, you can't really compare last year's market to this year because you can't compare any year's market to the right to the way it is now. Every year is different. Just the housing market. You can't compare housing market to, you know, year to year. It's the same way. But, you know, it's the best we could do. So Max Scherzer last year, when he was traded, got back Luis Angel Acuña from the Rangers. Now, he was the 71st ranked prospect at the time.
Okay.
All right.
Ascending, too. He was an ascending prospect as well.
Yes, as well. As there. Okay, as well.
All right, well, let me stop you down right now. Scherzer last year, Eovaldi right now, more value.
Eovaldi.
I would think Eovaldi. I think he's a better day-to-day pitcher. He's younger. Max is still, I mean, he still has a big name.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I'm talking about Max last year.
I think Eovaldi.
Okay,
all right. I think Eovaldi.
And Max brought back 71 in terms of the prospect.
71.
All right.
Justin Verlander, he was sent to Houston, back to Houston from the Mets. He got back Drew Gilbert, go Vols, and Ryan Clifford. Neither at the time were top 100 guys, but they're both now they're in the Mets system along with Acuña. Currently, they're both ahead of Acuña on the Mets rankings on MLB Pipeline's website for whatever's that worth. So they're like the 2 and 3 prospects on the Mets prospect list. So, but at the time, they were not top 100, but as well, they were ascending guys.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Giolito, he got back Edgar Quiro and Kai Bush. Neither were top 100 at the time. Bush is currently 16th in the White Sox system. and Kiro's fourth. But again, neither were top 100, and I think Evaldi's a more high-value guy than Giolito.
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery. He got back three guys from the Rangers. Two of them are in the top five in St. Louis's system. Neither are top 100 players in the minors, though, right now. So those were the pitchers that were dealt last year at the deadline. That's not tremendous return. Obviously, you had the Acuna deal where he was 71st, and then the two other guys that the Mets got for Verlander were not top 100 at the time, but now have ascended into the top five of the Mets system. I mean, does he get more than Scherzer? I mean, I think the chances are maybe. Like, I think the Scherzer deal is the one you look at because, you know, where he is versus where Evaldi is on the pecking order in terms of Major League Baseball, and the fact that he's a nails, legit. You could put him at the front of your rotation in a playoff series and be totally cool with him being your game one starter.
Yeah, I would. I think you got to remember, too, they also, around that time, you had Michael Lorenzen got traded as an all-star. Jack Flaherty got traded. You had questions. They didn't get dealt ultimately, but Dylan Cease and Mitch Keller in Pittsburgh were all questions.
Yep.
And so you're talking about a really saturated market with pitchers, where even then a 40-year-old like Scherzer was able to return a 71st prospect. We're talking about, this is a pretty empty market.
Yeah.
If you want a pitcher, there's going to be several teams going, Evaldi's the one we got to get.
Yep.
Or if Scooble's available, Scooble's the one we got to get.
Or Crochet.
Like, there's going to be, like, there's just not nearly as many. So I think that the price is going to be even stronger this time around because of what's available.
Yeah, it's not as big of a market because, like you mentioned, all those other players. But I do think it's a better market. Like, these are more high quality pitchers at this point than they were last year.
The question is the Rangers front office going to get caught up into the emotion? We're starting to feel this positive emotional wave versus balancing it against the White Sox, right? And then balancing really competing this year for maintaining your core for next year. Bobby's still not swept up. I can go either way. If you tell me that the Rangers are going to be minor sellers, and that includes even Adolis Garcia, I'm going to be fine with it. If you tell me that they're going to be minor buyers or try to go add like a big-time bat, I'm going to be fine with that as well. I'm going to be fine with either of those two small minor options. I'm not going to be totally opposed. I don't think they can win it this year. I don't. I'm not going to get caught up in the Chicago stuff. I just want to maintain it and keep it intact for next year.
I agree. I would have no problem if they minor buy, minor sell. It's not gonna upset me either way. If they do a major sell, I would be like, okay, what are we doing here? Like, that's not
right.
That's not doing right by your vets. It's not doing right by the fan base, and like, it's unnecessary. I think a major sell is just unnecessary.
Well, I mean, like I had mentioned yesterday to Sandler, for an organization that was able to so soberly and at least for right now proven correctly evaluate what to do with Jordan Montgomery, and we're able to just take all the emotion away from a guy who is Bassett. I remember Bassett calling him the best pitcher in baseball the last 6 weeks of the regular season and what he did in the playoffs for you, and they were able to say, that's great, we appreciate it, we're not doing this though. He didn't even get a chance to pitch a single game for the Rangers again after that. I would be surprised if the Rangers would get so swept up in emotion of things that's happening right now and not be able to look at it and say, because I agree with you, I want to contend next year. And to me, I think contending next year is about getting rid of these expiring deals, which got a lot of veterans on expiring deals. The biggest one would be Evaldi, I guess, but even still, he's going to opt out in all likelihood, it sounds like.
I don't know if you have an owner who can get emotional. I think you might have ownership that is cold, sterile, and disciplined by the calculator.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a educated guess that I'm throwing out there.
You know, and there's
positives. CY is emotional.
Oh,
and we know CY don't want to sell.
Man, and it's like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have an emotional GM and a rational by the numbers owner, or an emotional owner and a rational GM?
I want a rational owner, but I want the rationale to come because of intelligence and not because of wallet. Like, I don't want a frugal owner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want you to be smart, but also willing. I don't want you to be financially disciplined, but cheap.
Like, Steve Cohen with the Mets.
And I'm worried about the latter.
Yeah, like Steve Cohen with the Mets is known as like this willy-nilly, like spend guy, mm-hmm. right? He'll spend all kinds of money. I don't know of him to be emotional. Maybe he is. I don't want the owner to get wrapped up in headlines.
Let's go around, and he does, in
yes,
New York.
Yes.
Let's go around the rest of the NFL. Trent Williams is holding out in San Francisco, so you have him and Brandon Ayuk, who someone called a top three receiver. Right?
Did somebody call him a top three receiver?
Yes, it was.
Was that Aqib?
It was Aqib Talib.
It was not Grant Cohen.
On with Kay Adams. He also made another comment that I don't think Kay heard because she went right past it.
Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy.
Brandon Ayuk is your top as a top three receiver?
Man, he's just I don't really go off the stats. I go off the player and his body control, his routes, his hands, his speed. He can easily be a top receiver in the league. If you put him on a team and you make him the focal guy, oh, he'll go crazy.
It did go right by her.
It went right by her. Because, like, now she was obviously taken aback by him saying top three, but then immediately after he said, if you get him with a real quarterback, and I'm like, man, what does this poor kid have to do? Like, did he go undefeated his first year until the Philadelphia game where he got hurt? And then last year, I mean, I think he should have been the MVP. He led the league in QBR and DVOA and adjusted net yards per attempt.
That was a disrespectful comment or uneducated comment. Is Aqib Talib still calling games? I don't want to say too much, actually, about the Talib family. I retract that. Peyton dumped that.
Aqib is very, typically has been, obviously, as a lot of corners tend to be, really critical of receivers and quarterbacks. So a lot of times whenever I hear, okay, they've got a connection, or oh, there's some sort of, or he really likes receiver, I start going like, okay, where's the connection? How does he know Brandon Ayuk? How does he, or do they have like the same agent? Were they ripped by the same guy? I start looking at like areas like that. But I mean, to just blow by Purdy like that that's bizarre to me, because if you want to say fine, you think he's overrated or you don't think he's quite that, say get him with a real quarterback. I would love to know who you think real quarterbacks are.
The Eagles are being asked about the Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni relationship because of the Athletic report that there was some disconnect between Sirianni and his QB. And Sirianni, you know, first Hurts says it's in a great place, blah, blah, blah. Nothing really noteworthy. They're giving the standard generic stuff. And Sirianni is like, hey, when you hear reports like that, you don't put too much stock into it. But that's Diana Rossini. If you trust her, still trying to monitor the QB head coach relationship in Philadelphia, which we hope detonates. And I hope that Nick Sirianni is the cause of it.
Which, I mean, that feels like an obvious tension point that existed last year. Like, I don't know that we even need Diana Rossini to tell us that. Like, that felt like something, like, from the outside you could see. And you could see it from, like, you mentioned it the other day, Sean, like that instance at the Super Bowl where, like, Hurts is on display going, like, put your hand down. What are you doing?
Jim Harbaugh. How about this quote out of L.A.? Jim Harbaugh back in the NFL. First day of training camp after 10 years away. He compared it to childbirth. Quote, It's like New Year's Day. It feels like being born. It feels like coming out of the womb. You're in there. It's comfortable and safe, and now you're out. You're born. Lights are on. It's bright. Chaos. People looking at you. People talking at you. And it just feels good to have it happen. Derwin James was like, yeah, I've never had a coach compare training camp to childbirth before. And the idea of coming into the world was fitting for the Chargers and his new team. He's his own guy, and we love him. So that is Harbaugh. Your dude, Bobby, in Los Angeles. Your other dude, Randy Gregory, didn't show up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No.
In April, skipped the offseason program. Also did not report at the start of training camp for Tampa. The did not report list. And Todd Bowles said, I was expecting him to be here, suing the NFL for fining him more than $500,000 for using THC, which he says he needs for PTSD and social anxiety.
Yeah, and I wonder if this is about, like, active lawsuit, and so he's staying away while he's got this lawsuit, or if there's
so
just
practice?
Staying
away from practice?
I wonder if there's just, he's made up his mind, like, I want to get this, I don't want to play under the NFL's terms again until I get this lawsuit settled. I don't know. And so I wonder if he's just, it's about the lawsuit being up there, or if it's instead just...
God, how many dubs can I count up for myself here recently with Gallup and Gregory and Jamal Adams? I give credit to Choppy. I'm just it's on fire here. No wonder they sent us out here as the first show in Oxnard, California, right here on DFW Sports Station. We're about to unleash the expressway. We're going commercial free. We are hooking you up with concert tickets, and we have the playmaker, Michael Irvin, going off on the Cowboys' Big Three. You are not going to want to miss this next on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An expressway means we are commercial free. I believe we are the first and only show out here broadcasting on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. The press conference moved again to 12:30 Central. We're going to be playing Rangers baseball, but the G-Bag Nation will grab all the highlights and the clips and play it for you right after the Rangers hopefully sweep the Chicago White Sox with Max Scherzer on the mound. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube, and the Fan Cam is brought to you by Uber One. New members enjoy 3 months free at joinuberone.com. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. Michael Irvin went at this team with Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star Telegram. Here's what Michael had to say. And he has, for years with us, challenged the it factor with this team, and he's been right. You know, you got the talent. Are you going to fold in big time moments? Who's going to step up in playoff games? And it never happens around here. As for the offseason and lack of additions, Michael said, quote, yeah, they have not done anything. But he directed his ire towards the big three. Dak, CD, who we don't believe to be out here, and Micah. Quote, the biggest problem is who you're paying. We're about to take three guys who I hear Dak's people talking noise in the media all the time. CD's people talking on social media. And Micah Parsons' people talking in the media or Micah himself. We got our top three guys that we're about to give all the money in the world. And their families are always running their blanking mouths in the media. That is a hard place to be. So what it says to me is you're about to give money to three guys that are not even together. I need them all to tell their family to shut the hell up while they go do their work. You see what I'm saying? And they're not doing that. We don't see any of it. So let me stop right there. You look like you're about to say something.
No, go ahead. I in general have a thought about his criticism. I don't think his criticism's fair of one of these players.
Go ahead.
See, I don't think it's fair to lump CeeDee Lamb into this. CeeDee Lamb's mom had one comment that was on a personal Facebook page that then blew up and has not been a problem since. Since CeeDee Lamb sat down with Micah Parsons around Super Bowl and said, I saw what my mom said. I don't think those things. I, you know, we talk about it. Like we've had a discussion. it one thing popped up on a personal Facebook page. There's been nothing since. I don't think you can throw him into this conversation.
I already know what Choppy's opinion is going to be on this matter, because we used to argue about this years and years and years ago. And Michael agrees with me, for the record. But my follow-up to Irvin would be, does it show that Dak, Mike, and Lamb are not together just because their family members pop off? Are those two things connected?
So
that's what Michael's saying. What it says to me, you're about to give money to three guys that are not even together because they're not keeping their families in check. Like, are we talking about apples and oranges? What does that say about them leaders, or what does it say that they can't or don't want to keep their family members quiet? That would be my question to Mike. How is that indicative, or how does that factor into paying them?
Right. It doesn't. But I mean, also the other thing here is, like I said, even outside of just the thing of where I say there that I think it's unfair to.
Now, I agree with Irvin with telling their family members to shut up. I just don't know if it indicts them for their next contract. I'll give the rest of the quote.
Yeah, like, has a team ever like not paid a player because of their parent?
Well, not it doesn't have to specifically be that. Michael's trying to get, I think, to a bigger point, but I'll finish up what he told Clarence. I'm more worried about that than I am what Jerry Jones is doing in the offseason, because if he makes a commitment to the three of them, I would like to see them get together and make that same damn commitment. Stop having a family member talking, family that has never run a route, made a tackle, or thrown a pass. It bothers me because I have to go on TV and respond to that mess. Clarence asked Michael, what would you do? I would cut their butts off. That's what I'm telling them to do. You got all the money. You tell them if they don't hush it, they'll be cut off financially. That's all you got to do. So it makes you wonder how much of it is coming from them if they don't tell them to shut up. So that's the family aspect of what Michael Irvin is talking about with Clarence Hill. I don't know that it leads to something else. That's what I would ask Mike.
I don't know that this leads to like turmoil. Like I don't think that anybody within the organization. Now listen,
it can lead to turmoil, but does it? I mean, what does it lead to in terms of Dak Prescott, like
ability to play football?
Like, what does it say about him if he doesn't hush up Tad? What does it say about Micah if he doesn't hush up his brother? I think Michael would maybe say, well, if you're not silencing it, you're allowing it. And if you're allowing it, do you agree with it? Like, are they basically leaking things through you?
Maybe they are, and
that would show the lack of connectivity or all of them together.
Right. Maybe they are. But, you know, in negotiations in 2024, we have seen players use social media as a negotiating ploy. Just unfollowing and untagging yourself from all team accounts. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen players do this. So it's very possible that in a negotiating year that you are using mom, dad, brother, sister, cousin, whatever, as a mouthpiece. It's very, very possible.
I just think Michael's speaking to it. I don't think this is about negotiation. I think he's just trying to say something's missing with this team. Something's missing inside this locker room, and this could be a microcosm of it.
Yeah, I think that CD is his. I don't think you can put CD in this conversation even. And even once we get to the topic of, okay, well, let's look at the issue of then Terrence Parsons and Tad Prescott. Even if that's a situation, I think we've had this talk before, is that like you can tell family members, like, hey, come on, you're not doing me any favors right here. Like, a lot of family members are going to feel like, that's my fit. Like, I'm going to stick up for them. I'm going to be, you know, they're going to be irrationally defending you a lot of different times. And I don't know how easy or feasible it would be to just say, like, is that really where something you would want to, like die on that hill with a family member? Be like, I want to cut my relationship off with you, instead of just saying, like, dude, would you just, like, cut it out?
Not cut relationship. Like, I'm going to stop funding your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of going through it right now, so you tell us.
No, I mean, like, that's, to me, it's a, look, I mean, well, if it was having to do with, like, you know, talking about what I'm doing on the fan, then that'd be a different question. But I look at it and I say, specifically, here's the one that I look at, and this is connecting dots here. This isn't anything that I can know for certain. When you look at a lot of the family that Dak Prescott has lost in recent years, I don't know how reasonable it is to say, Dak, you should be threatening to cut off family members.
Yeah.
I don't think that's very reasonable.
Michael Irvin finishes up with Clarence. So what about the rest of the team? Irvin says, we got skill. It's the collective will that I'm worried about. Tough times are going to come, and they're going to be looking at one another to get through it. The toughest time came, and they're not together. They fall apart. There's no connectivity. The collective will is missing. So I'm excited, but I'm only going to be as much as I see them come together through the process. If they do, they got a shot to do it. If they don't, they won't, and that is the reality. So that is the playmaker talking with Clarence Hill. Firing off
just a little bit.
And Michael said, why do you want Jerry to stay in this forever? Like talking about the last year of everyone's contracts. Why do you want Jerry to stay in this forever? If they can't come together, you will have to go ahead and make some changes.
Man, now that's a whole different discussion, because now it's an aspect of, is Jerry willing to completely reboot this thing? And that's just the reality that none of us really think he's willing to do, right?
No.
Not at this moment.
I don't think so. Peyton has let me know. We're setting some Twitch numbers right now. And YouTube has 394 viewers. And Twitch has not put up these numbers in the last 2 weeks. So thank you for joining us this Thursday morning as we get you kicked off from Cowboys camp in Oxnard, California. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Roberto Belt, Nick Eatman. So today we have Jake Ferguson, my personal favorite Cowboy at 8:40. Zach Martin will join us tomorrow along with Nick Eatman at 9:20 from DallasCowboys.com. And Bobby, Nick with a little .com preview.
Yes, Nick Eatman had the five things to watch as training camp starts this week.
And by the way, I'm sorry, Bobby. Let me say one more thing when it comes to Michael Irvin and what he said for years. And I think what he's trying to have come across in this interview with Clarence. When the S hits the fan, I have no belief and faith in this football team responding. That's what I think Mike is trying to get to. Zero. They'll fold up. They'll fold up like, where's Chiafalo's chair? Is that the special Broadus chair?
Well, I'm in one of them, and then there's another one over there. You want that one?
Well, let me see it. Let me see what you're sitting in.
Oh, this is a nice one. It's a rocker.
Oh.
It's a rocker. Now,
that looks like it's probably Broadus's.
That has to be.
They're the same. They're the same chair.
No, that one looks older. This is old money. That looks more Chiafalo budget.
Oh yeah, that's a Chiafalo.
They're the same one.
They're the same one. That one rocks too. It says GCI Outdoor.
Yeah, it's a rocker. I have one of these at home.
Broadus probably bought it for him. You know, since Broadus loves to guilt people out here, why don't you pay for your producer's lunch, Sean? Why don't you buy this? I said, because we all have a per diem, dip S. We all, like, they're not, no one's paying out of their own pocket. The company's paying for it. And he loves to shame and guilt me over that stuff. Does he give his producers bonuses when he hits them in the ratings?
Wow. No, he doesn't.
Does he?
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. All right. So, but basically, I think that's what Michael is getting to. None of us believe that this team will stand up and respond once they get punched in the face. San Francisco will bully them. We saw what happened against the Packers. They win. You know, they win the runway walk.
They're bullies.
The moment
you step up to them, they crater. They just go into their turtle shell. The moment you stand up to them, just like a bully.
Yep.
Which, I mean, they've tried to adjust physicality and toughness. Like, they try to address those things. It's just in a lot of different instances. I think each year when it seems like they've plugged one hole, another one springs up. And it's like, okay, well, this issue feels like it's been fixed now. Okay, well, now we're dealing with this. Okay, now we've got, you know, we feel like we've addressed the... We've got a little bit of an edge now. Well, now what we're dealing with is like there's still more finesse as football players. Like there's always these things that it's as soon as they plug one, another one pops open.
Bobby, just who names us on the fan cam?
I named myself.
Okay, Bobby just told me I like got kicked off the Zoom and I reconnected and I got back on there and it says Bobby No Mama
no
Belt.
No Mama Belt.
Come on, Bob. Come on.
You could do that. Now somebody did that on a court case.
Did they?
Yes.
I thought they put foul language like
they did.
MF or
yeah,
something.
They did on a court case. The judge was like, dude, you're on a Zoom court and then you put that as your handle and it was like some wildly inappropriate.
No, I love the Zoom call court case of the person on the suspended license.
Yeah.
And they connected with the judge and they're pulling in.
Yeah, yeah. Holding up court going, judge, give me 1 second. Just got a park and all right, ready.
I'm trying to break here like RJ Choppy. What's Nick Eatman talking about?
Five things to watch as training camp starts this week. This is from Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com, which we start with Nick. When do Nick's hits begin?
Tomorrow
we get Nick Eatman. Number one, CD watch. That is the thing that obviously everybody's waiting around for. We're going to see where do things go with his contract situation. Do things get done this week, next week? Mm-hmm. Is it something that this is bleeding into? Like, we're talking about game times closer to like what Ezekiel right. Elliott's deal went with. So CD watch is going to be the number one topic. Number two, the new defense. Cowboys lost Dan Quinn, who's now the head coach in Washington, but his defense wasn't perfect, especially in the playoff loss to the Packers. Can Mike Zimmer return to Dallas once again and provide not only a new look, but create a scheme that benefits Micah Parsons even more? Number three on this list is the offensive line battles, which is something that we've talked about in the last couple weeks leading up to it, that there's not a lot of certainty about who's going to be at left tackle or center. There's some genuine open competitions here heading into this game or heading into the season. Number four, the return of Ezekiel Elliott, who at this point feels like that is your starting running back. That is your primary running back, the guy who's going to get the majority of touches if this is the roster heading into week one. And then number five, this is the one that I think is that we've probably talked about the least. We hit all four of these things, but this is an absolutely critical part of what the Cowboys will need in terms of for their success to really hit this year, and that's the leap year. That's something that McCarthy talks about a lot every year, the guys who take the year one to year two leap, year two to year three leap. And so what are you going to get out of these guys specifically? Sam Williams, Jalen Tolbert, Mozzie Smith, Wanye Thomas, Jalen Brooks, Nashawn Wright. Nashawn Wright, you're waiting. This is year four?
Yeah. Fifth year, sixth year?
Israel Mukwamu and Luke Schoonmaker, all young guys that should get plenty of chances to earn those much-needed reps. And I think that's Wanye Thomas, I think, is a good player. I think he's going to be a good player. Like I think you've gotten reasonably everything you could hope to get out of Wanye Thomas when you first signed him as an undrafted free agent. He's surpassed expectations, and you hope that he can continue to progress. To me, the biggest one of those is going to be Mozzie. Like, Mozzie is the lone one-technique defensive tackle that you really have on your roster right now as a legitimate starting option, it feels like. And if you can't click on a first-round pick there, that's going to be that will be a really significant miss.
He loses any more weight, he's going to be an outside linebacker.
It's one thing to have a Tristan Hill when you pick him at 58. It's another thing to have a Tristan Hill when you pick him in the first round.
Yeah, you got to hit. And the team's done a really good job, for the most part, on hitting first-round picks. I mean, mainly offensive line is where they've really nailed it.
But this is an example right there to that point. They've hit. You're not going to have 100% success rate. This is the position that you've put your personnel department in by not playing in free agency. If you refuse to play in free agency, you're asking them to pull off an impossible task, which is hit 100% of the guys that you draft.
Yeah.
And that's not reasonable.
Inside the Star here with our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy. Let's hook you up for setting some of these viewing record numbers for day one in Oxnard. Let's get you some concert tickets. You ain't
met my Texas. All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 right now at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see the Josh Abbott Band at Legacy Hall this Saturday night, July 27th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
I cannot wait for the college football kegger at 8 o'clock.
Oh, baby.
It's not a grilling problem. It's a photo problem. RJ wants to get rid of a legendary venue in the sport, and the press conference at UCLA that everyone is talking about. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. Jake Ferguson. Okay, where's Ferguson in terms of the ranking of celebrity power couples in sports right now?
Ooh.
We got Kelce Swift is one.
Yeah.
Are we going Skeens and
Libby Dunn
two? Who could be three, or is it Ferguson and Cavender? Haley Cavender,
yeah.
And she is what? She's who again?
She's a basketball player now, back at Miami, I guess.
Yeah, she was at TCU. She transferred back to Miami.
You've
got somewhere it's two athletes, but like one of them is clear, like the Chicago Bears back into the roster guy and Simone Biles. But like some of those relationships there where it's like, how do you, but I mean, in terms of like,
she's like, so out there and so prominent like Libby Dunn. Like, you know, Skeens is more popular. Like, he's a bigger name than Jake Ferguson. Yeah. Libby Dunn's a bigger name than Haley Cavender. So they're higher, obviously.
Does it tick you off looking at Skeens and saying how?
Yes.
You know you're thinking it.
I'm thinking
you know you're thinking
how?
It.
Oh, Skeens.
All right, let's go local. We do it every single Thursday during the commercial-free expressway with The Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. This is the Neighborhood Watch. This is your local community segment. Whether we're in DFW or out of DFW, we're still here to bring you the latest about your DFW community. And one of the ways we do this is our Facebook community group post of the week. And I've got one from the legitimate authority on Rockwall, not the Rockwallian, that BS that Peyton's part of, that refused to add me to their group, wouldn't let me in, but they allowed Peyton to sit in there. No, I'm talking about Rockwallian Uncensored, the group that I'm in, which is like the Rockwallian, only they just aren't muzzled. They let you speak the truth there. They let you talk about real issues, real topics. There's only 6,000 members compared to like the 80,000 that's in the Rockwallian, but that's because a lot of people can't handle the truth. So this is the one that was in the Rockwallian Uncensored. Somebody had posted an image of a note that was left on a windshield of a car.
You leave it?
No, I did not. Nope. I leave those on doorsteps.
He leaves those.
And I use different paperweights. It says in all caps, polite notice.
Ooh.
And it says, would you kindly refrain from parking your vehicle outside my house for days on end? A few hours or a day is acceptable. Although you are, of course, legally within your rights to park outside my home, please have some consideration and park on the opposite side of the road when space is available. Thank you. And the person posted this, and they put in their WTF, basically. And the vast majority of comments on here, and this is where I want to turn it over to the Franklin Injury Attorney Sex Line and get y'all's thoughts on it here.
The sex line?
Don't really care. Don't sex line. Injuries. Injury
this
attorneys
is your,
text
your
line.
Adderall release is happening right
oh,
now.
Oh, it's happening.
No, it's not, because it's instant. It's I'm not getting dosed out every 3 hours.
It's happening right now. The words are leapfrogging each other like a quarterback contract right now.
Injury attorneys text line, 877-881-1053. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. Don't really care for Peyton's.
You don't need anyone's thoughts but mine, because this could be me.
But I would say, what do you think the majority of the comments
me.
Were? Majority of comments, do you think they were in favor of the person leaving the note or in favor of the person who was like, this is over the top?
I hope that they are in favor of the person leaving the note. I hope. The way you phrased it and asked it, they're gonna attack that person, I bet.
They attacked the individual who posted the image and was saying WTF. They are on the side of the note lever for the most part.
The person saying don't park in front of my house.
90% of people.
Yes.
So some of the comments that are in there, don't blame them. It's super annoying to have someone's car in front of the house.
Yes.
Somebody else says it wasn't even polite. Dude was yelling at you the whole time because it was written in all caps. It says they were trying to make a polite request. Why are you parking in front of someone else's home? If not for a good reason, why not simply park somewhere else, possibly in front of your own home, maybe?
Yeah.
Somebody says, I agree with them. Somebody says, people are ridiculous. This is on the other side. People are ridiculous. The street is public. It's rude to park directly in front of someone's walkway that leads up to their house if you aren't their visitor. But otherwise, the street is a free-for-all. But you say, hell no, that's essentially my turf right in front of my house.
Yeah. At my last house, I don't know what the people were involved in the house across from me. I don't know. There was a weird landlord situation. It looked like it was like four different families living there at one time. Always used cars, like recycling, like eight different cars would be parked at their house. And they would park some of their used cars. I think the guy maybe like did car restoration. I don't know, because every car had like a phone number on the side of it.
Oh, wow.
But they would park like two of these cars in front of our house.
Like on your curb?
On my curb.
Okay.
And it would infuriate me. Like, I don't know. I know technically, and I try to look into it, like, all right, HOA-wise, is this mine? Is this theirs? Is this community? And, you know, technically it is community, but I'm like, you have space over there. You just don't want to park 14 cars in front of your house because you're not allowed to do that. So you're taking up space. And I had a fight with the wife one time. It escalated. It escalated in the parking lot.
And she was like, don't worry about it?
When we have words. Yeah. I got out of the car, And this was like over 3 years.
Yeah.
This wasn't just a week. Because I would take photos. I thought about calling the towing company. And I finally said, like, whose car is this? And she's like, it's ours. And like we started going back and forth. I'm like, get it out of here. And then the husband, he knew what he was doing was like inconvenient for us. Mm-hmm. And he like hushed it down, calmed down the wife a little bit. But I would have to sit there and try to threaten towing because this happened over a three-year span. I just hate walking in my front yard and seeing like a car parked right in front of my house.
So if it's like, you know, they're there for a few hours or a day or two, one thing. If it's there like weeks or
and they were parking
time.
In front of the fire escape as well. You know, my house, like there was the gate there that was the fire escape, like blocking it. It was just annoying.
I'll be honest. I have a much... I would much prefer to, just don't block my mailbox. Like that's rule number one. Like if you because I'm on the side, so I'm on the corner. So if you park on the side, whatever.
Yeah.
Like because I don't see it necessarily. I don't care if you're in front of my house. I have a bigger problem. Well, not even a problem, but when they park on the street across from me, it's more difficult to back out because I'm worried about bumping into it because our streets are for narrow for some reason.
Yeah.
So like backing out becomes more challenging. I got to be cognizant of the car behind me. I don't care if they're just parked in front of the house. Just don't block the driveway and please don't be there for like 2-3 days at a time. If it's there for a couple hours, I don't really care.
Yeah.
We're doing neighborhood watch here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan. Some of the answers on the Franklin injury attorney's text line as we're talking about how permissible is it to park your car in front of somebody else's house? 817 says, I hate when they park directly across the street, but behind my driveway. Somebody else, 903, says, block them in. 321 says, it's legal, but rude if the house has multiple vehicles.
Yeah, I left multiple notes, too. They didn't care.
Oh, didn't care.
Yeah, I tried everything in the book.
No, and so is it different? It's obviously different, like you guys just said, for a few hours. So is there more understanding when it's clear somebody's having like a giant party at their house, and so there's a bunch of vehicles parked in front of a bunch of different people's houses?
Yeah.
As annoying as that is, do you have an understanding of
understanding.
It's
going to
be a couple hours and they need space?
Totally, because I'm usually the one having the party.
Because see, I feel so self-conscious about it, like where I don't want to park in front of somebody's house that I'm clearly not there for that.
I don't want to go and park myself going to someone else's house. But a lot of people, they get their neighbor's permission when you're cool in the neighborhood. If my wife allowed me to talk to everyone in the neighborhood, I could get all their permission. I don't need their permission with my driveway.
Yeah.
You know what my play is a lot of times? Is I'll park, if I can, directly in the middle of the property line so that I'm split in front of those two houses and then somebody can't take their complaint to me there. All right, so this was a really viral topic over on Reddit last week. This was the discussion in the Texas group, and I'm curious what this answer is for both of you guys. Sean and RJ, Sean, you growing up in Maryland, RJ, you were in New Jersey, and they were talking about these different people that have moved to Texas over the years and, you know, transplanted and started living there, and they started talking about the biggest giveaway that they're not from here. What is your biggest giveaway that you're from Maryland? Like when you start talking, do you tip yourself off ever and like, crap, I've exposed myself, or where people go, oh, you're not from here. You don't say y'all, or you do this, you do that. What's your biggest tip off that you're not from Texas?
That's a great question.
When I call it a pie. A pizza.
Oh, that would stand out to me.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, I don't think if I... What do y'all do for the drinks? Soda? Pop?
Soda is... You'll say Coke. You'll say Coke a lot.
Coke for a Sprite, even.
So you can
Coke.
Say...
What kind?
You'll say, can Coke. I have Coke?
And but I've said that.
Yeah, and I'll ask you which one they want to do. Yeah. One of the answers that was really popular on Reddit was people saying that they'll call it... And I know I referenced this a couple weeks ago with Mike when he was talking about... He called it V75. Is that there were people who said, in California, we call all the highways as the 405, the 101. So if I say the 635 or the 35, or people are always like, what the hell are you saying? Like, who says that? Who talks like that?
I've found, like, you know, like, especially older, like, not necessarily people who are, like, 40. I'm talking like 60. They refer to the highways in Texas as like a name, like John Carpenter or Airport Freeway or Central.
I think y'all is probably the number one indicator.
Do you say y'all though? Don't you?
Yeah, like kind of naturally, but man, I don't know. Subconsciously, if I'm like sending out a tweet or something, I'll make it y'all instead of you all to be like, yeah, I'm Texan.
We've got 817 here says their bad take on barbecue or queso. That's an indicator to
Lake
them.
Lake and Riley coming up at 8 o'clock.
763, what we just mentioned, they're calling soda pop. If you say, can I get a pop? Yeah. That's specific. If you don't say soda, you say pop. That's an indicator. My dad grew up in Ohio. He still says pop, and that throws me off. 940 says salad eaters, Chop. You don't get those carnivorous folks live here in Texas. You go to a restaurant and go like, can I get a salad? I just want a salad. Then like, you're not from here.
You need to get a salad with no meat on it.
The amount of people that I have met that just like don't eat or like vegetables amazes me.
I know. I love them all day.
Well, but like, don't you need them? I would think that
Al Michaels doesn't. Yeah,
but, I mean, look.
Well, Al is not Mr. Olympia.
No, he Al Somnia.
He might be out here right now.
Low on iron. He needs some of that. So 682 saying their tell the Chop he's not from here is when he does his Wednesday, Tuesday. They're like that. You don't say Wednesday, Tuesday. That sounds like you're not from here.
I mean, okay, tell it to Randy Galloway.
Let's see here. What else is there? Mispronouncing street names is usually a dead giveaway. That's another one. There's certain cities that you can't know how it's pronounced around Texas unless you live
here. Well, and Waxahachie got me forever.
Waxahachie.
Wax.
Yeah, I know, Bobby. I'm doing the freaking mispronunciation, you dip. God, just let the joke breathe.
I thought you were genuinely saying you fixed it and you now know it's Waxahachie. No, no. I thought that's what you were saying.
But that can mess up anybody.
All right, speaking of big changes, this is something that Choppy was pointing out while we were in one of the breaks here. Chop, we are getting some changes to Southwest Airlines as they have announced that they are going to go to assigned seating. In fact, this was right in the middle of Peyton, I think, talking about the deplaning. We got this story that Southwest is no longer doing just the,
B1-30, now boarding.
They're done with that. They are now, you don't just get to pick your seat. You're going to get assigned seating.
Thank God.
About a 20-minute wait, by the way, for us, Bobby and I, yesterday. RJ sent us the great preview and heads up. 20-minute wait, in case you were wondering, over the airport madness. And RJ's TSA paid off.
It did pay off. And we were delayed because we got held up at the ticket counter because my bag was too heavy.
We'll get into that later.
My bag was too heavy. We got held up. But
your hoity-toity wine bag. Oh.
It saved the day. It
brought me great joy that thing broke already.
The company says 80% of their customers prefer an assigned seat. 80%. They changed the cattle call that they have to now you got to pay for these seats. So this is the thing. You got to pay if you want an assigned seat. Now, an assigned seat is going to come with extra leg room. They're going to make extra leg room.
So do I get unassigned seats if I don't pay? Is this still an option not to pay?
Yes, it's an option not to
pay. I don't like that.
You'll get the cattle call or you could pay. And, I mean, I don't know when you'll board or whatever, but you get an assigned seat.
So what's different about it? Couldn't you get that before? Oh, no, you can never get an assigned seat.
You could pay to get further up in the boarding process, but you could never pay to get an assigned seat.
I don't see how that could ever work. Like, how are you going to have, like, some that are assigned seats and then the rest of it's just like, all right, it's a free-for-all in here? Because, like, what if you want to, like, are all the assigned seats going to be up front?
You have to board first.
Or can I say, like, I want to buy the very back row and I want to buy the aisle set? Like, do you get to pick that or are they going to have these are limited assigned seats and the rest of you?
I assume it's going to be, let's just say there's 20 rows. Maybe the first 8 rows or 10 rows are assigned. My assumption is they'll have a different color seat.
You know what I think needs to, which is a bigger issue than this, because I don't mind Southwest at all doing the open boarding. It's never bugged me. You just check in.
I don't like it.
I get it. Like, I understand why it's frustrating. But
I don't want to have to sit there a day before, you know, waiting to check in so I don't get stuck in the middle.
It's not nearly the annoyance to me as what occurs, especially on Southwest because of the open seating, which is the person who will, I'm dropping my bag in row 4 and then walking back to row 21 to where people who walk in back now go, oh, there's no storage space left, and I've walked past it. Those people are worse than the poor deplaners. Those are the worst people. That's the type of person who would leave a note on the windshield saying, you almost ran over me. I'm a father, son, brother.
It is the Neighborhood Watch every Thursday during the commercial-free expressway. We are live here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby from Oxnard, and it's Cowboy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go local. We do it every single Thursday during the commercial-free expressway with The Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. This is the Neighborhood Watch. This is your local community segment. Whether we're in DFW or out of DFW, we're still here to bring you the latest about your DFW community. And one of the ways we do this is our Facebook community group post of the week. And I've got one from the legitimate authority on Rockwall. Not the Rockwallian, that BS that Peyton's part of, that refused to add me to their group, wouldn't let me in, but they allow Peyton to sit in there. No, I'm talking about Rockwallian Uncensored, the group that I'm in, which is like the Rockwallian, only they just aren't muzzled. They let you speak the truth there. They let you talk about real issues, real topics. There's only 6,000 members compared to like the 80,000 that's in the Rockwallian, but that's because a lot of people can't handle the truth. So this is the one that was in the Rockwallian Uncensored. Somebody had posted an image of a note that was left on a windshield of a car.
You leave it?
No, I did not. Nope. I leave those on doorsteps.
He leaves those.
And I use different paperweights. It says it says in all caps, polite notice. Ooh. And it says, would you kindly refrain from parking your vehicle outside my house for days on end? A few hours or a day is acceptable. Although you are, of course, legally within your rights to park outside my home, please have some consideration and park on the opposite side of the road when space is available. Thank you. And the person posted this, and they put in their WTF, basically. And the vast majority of comments on here, and this is where I want to turn it over to the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney Sex Line and get you all's thoughts on it here.
The sex line?
Don't really care. Don't sex line. Injuries. Injury this attorney's is your, text
your
line.
Adderall release is happening right
oh,
now.
Oh, it's happening.
No, it's not, because it's instant. I'm not getting dosed out every 3 hours.
It's happening right now. The words are leapfrogging each other like a quarterback contract right now.
Injury attorney's text line, 877-881-1053. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. Don't really care for Peyton's.
You don't need anyone's thoughts but mine, because this could be me.
But there's I would say, what do you think the majority of the comments were? Majority of comments, do you think they were in favor of the person leaving the note or in favor of the person who was like, this is over the top?
I hope that they are in favor of the person leaving the note. I hope. The way you phrased it and asked it, they're gonna attack that person, I bet.
They attacked the individual who posted the image and was saying WTF. They are on the side of the note leaver for the most part.
The person saying don't park in front of my house.
90% of people.
Yes. Are.
So some of the comments that are in there, don't blame them. It's super annoying to have someone's car in front of the house.
Yes.
Somebody else says it wasn't even polite. Dude was yelling at you the whole time because it was written in all caps. It says they were trying to make a polite request. Why are you parking in front of someone else's home? If not for a good reason, why not simply park somewhere else, possibly in front of your own home, maybe?
Yeah.
Somebody says, I agree with them. Somebody says, people are ridiculous. This is on the other side. People are ridiculous. The street is public. It's rude to park directly in front of someone's walkway that leads up to their house if you aren't their visitor. But otherwise, the street is a free-for-all. But you say, hell no, that's essentially my turf right in front of my house.
Yeah. At my last house, I don't know what the people were involved in the house across from me. I don't know. There was a weird landlord situation. It looked like it was like four different families living there at one time.
Damn.
Always use cars, like recycling, like eight different cars would be parked at their house. And they would park some of their used cars. I think the guy maybe like did car restoration. I don't know, because every car had like a phone number on the side of it.
Oh, wow.
But they would park like two of these cars in front of our house.
Like on your curb?
On my curb.
Okay.
And it would infuriate me. Like, I don't know. I know technically, and I try to look into it, like, all right, HOA-wise, is this mine? Is this theirs? Is this community? And, you know, technically it is community, but I'm like, you have space over there. You just don't want to park 14 cars in front of your house because you're not allowed to do that. So you're taking up space. And I had a fight with the wife one time. It escalated. It escalated in the parking lot.
And she was like, don't worry about it.
When we have words. Yeah. I got out of the car. And this was like over 3 years.
Yeah.
This wasn't just a week. Because I would take photos. I thought about calling the towing company. And I finally said, like, whose car is this? And she's like, it's ours. And like we started going back and forth. I'm like, get it out of here. And then the husband, he knew what he was doing was like inconvenient for us. Mm-hmm. And he like hushed it down, calmed down the wife a little bit. But I would have to sit there and try to threaten towing because this happened over a three-year span. I just hate walking in my front yard and seeing like a car parked right in front of my house.
So if it's like, you know, they're there for a few hours or a day or two,
yeah,
one thing. If it's there like weeks or
And they were parking in front of the fire escape as well. You know, my house, like there was the gate there that was the fire escape, like blocking it. It was just annoying.
I'll be honest. I have a much... I would much prefer to just don't block my mailbox. Like that's rule number one. Like if you because I'm on the side, so I'm on the corner. So if you park on the side, whatever.
Yeah.
Like because I don't see it necessarily. I don't care if you're in front of my house. I have a bigger problem. Well, not even a problem, but when they park on the street across from me, it's more difficult to back out because I'm worried about bumping into it because our streets are for narrow for some reason.
Yeah.
So like backing out becomes more challenging. I got to be cognizant of the car behind me. I don't care if they're just parked in front of the house. Just don't block the driveway and please don't be there for like 2-3 days at a time. If it's there for a couple hours, I don't really care.
Yeah.
We're doing Neighborhood Watch here on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Fan. Some of the answers on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney's text line as we're talking about how permissible is it to park your car in front of somebody else's house? 817 says, I hate when they park directly across the street, but behind my driveway. Somebody else, 903, says, block them in. 321 says, it's legal, but rude if the house has multiple vehicles.
Yeah, I left multiple notes, too. They didn't care.
Oh, didn't care.
Yeah, I tried everything in the book.
No, and so is it different? It's obviously different, like you guys just said, for a few hours. So is there more understanding when it's clear somebody's having like a giant party at their house, and so there's a bunch of vehicles parked in front of a bunch of different people's houses?
Yeah.
As annoying as that is, do you have an understanding of
understanding.
It's going to be a couple hours and they need space?
Totally, because I'm usually the one having the party.
Because, see, I feel so self-conscious about it, like where I don't want to park in front of somebody's house that I'm clearly not there for that.
I don't want to go and park myself going to someone else's house. But a lot of people, they get their neighbor's permission when you're cool in the neighborhood. Uh-huh. If my wife allowed me to talk to everyone in the neighborhood, I could get all their permission.
I don't
need their permission in my driveway.
Yeah. You know what my play is a lot of times? Is I'll park, if I can, directly in the middle of the property line so that I'm split in front of those two houses and then somebody can't take their complaint to me there. All right, so this was a really viral topic over on Reddit last week. This was the discussion in the Texas group, and I'm curious what this answer is for both of you guys. Sean and RJ, Sean, you growing up in Maryland, RJ, you were in New Jersey. And they were talking about these different people that have moved to Texas over the years and, you know, transplanted and started living there. And they started talking about the biggest giveaway that they're not from here. What is your biggest giveaway that you're from Maryland? Like when you start talking, do you tip yourself off ever and like, crap, I've exposed myself, or where people go, you're not from here. You don't say y'all, or you do this, you do that. What's your biggest tip off that you're not from Texas?
That's a great question.
When I call it a pie. A pizza.
Oh, that would stand out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I don't think if I... What do y'all do for the drinks? Soda? Pop?
Soda is... You'll say Coke. You'll say Coke a lot.
Coke for a Sprite even.
For, yeah. So you can
Coke.
Say...
What kind?
You'll say, yeah, can I have a Coke?
And but I've said that.
Yeah, they'll ask you which one they want to do. Yeah. One of the answers that was really popular on Reddit was people saying that they'll call it... And I know I referenced this a couple weeks ago with Mike when he was talking about... He called it V75. Is that there were people who said, in California, we call all the highways
the
405, the 101. So if I say the 635 or the 35 or the set, people are always like, what the hell are you saying? Like, yeah. Who says that? Who talks like
I've,
that?
I've found, like, you know, like, especially older, like, not necessarily people who are like 40, I'm talking like 60, that refer to the highways in Texas as like a name, like John Carpenter or Airport Freeway or Central.
I think y'all is probably the number one indicator.
Do you say y'all though, don't you?
Yeah, like kind of naturally, but man, I don't know, subconsciously, if I'm like sending out a tweet or something, I'll make it y'all instead of you all to be like, yeah, I'm Texan.
We've got 817 here says their bad take on barbecue or queso. That's an indicator to
Lincoln
them.
Lincoln Riley coming up at 8 o'clock.
763, what we just mentioned, they're calling soda pop. If you say, can I get a pop? Yeah. That's specific. If you don't say soda, you say pop. That's an indicator. My dad grew up in Ohio. He still says pop, and that throws me off. 940 says salad eaters, Chop. You don't get those the carnivorous
salad eaters.
The carnivorous folks live here in Texas. You go to a restaurant and go like, "Can I get a salad? I just want a salad." Then like, you're not from here.
You get a salad with no meat on it.
The amount of people that I have met that just like don't eat or like vegetables amazes me.
I know. I eat all day.
Well, but like, don't you need them? I would think that
Al Michaels, Al Michaels no. doesn't. Yeah,
but, I mean, look.
Well, Al is not Mr. Olympia.
No, he Al Somnia.
He might be out here right now.
Low on iron. He needs some of that. So 682 is saying their tell the Chop he's not from here is when he does his Wednesday, Tuesday. They're like, that you don't say Wednesday, Tuesday. That sounds like you're not from here.
I mean, okay, tell it to Randy Galloway.
Let's see here. What else is there? Mispronouncing street names is usually a dead giveaway. That's another one. There are certain cities that you can't know how it's pronounced around Texas unless you live
here.
Well,
and Waxahachie got me forever.
Waxahachie.
Wax.
Yeah, I know, Bobby. I'm doing the freaking mispronunciation, you dip. God, just let the joke breathe.
I thought you were genuinely saying you fixed it and you now know it's Waxahachie. No. I thought that's what you were saying.
But that can mess up anybody.
All right, speaking of big changes, this is something that Choppy was pointing out while we were in one of the breaks here. Chop, we are getting some changes to Southwest Airlines as they have announced that they are going to go to assigned seating. In fact, this was right in the middle of Peyton, I think, talking about the deplaning. We got this story that Southwest is no longer doing just the,
B1-30, now boarding.
They're done with that. They are now, you don't just get to pick your seat. You're going to get assigned seating.
Thank God.
About a 20-minute wait, by the way, for us, Bobby and I, yesterday. RJ sent us the great preview and heads up. 20-minute wait, in case you were wondering, over the airport madness. And RJ's TSA paid off.
It did pay off. And we were delayed because we got held up at the ticket counter because my bag was too heavy.
We'll get into that later.
My bag was too heavy. We got held up. But
your hoity-toity wine bag, oh.
It saved the day.
It brought me great joy that thing broke already.
The company says 80% of their customers prefer an assigned seat. 80%. So they changed the cattle call that they have to now you got to pay for these seats. So this is the thing. You got to pay if you want an assigned seat. Now, that assigned seat's going to come with extra leg room. They're going to make extra leg room.
So do I get unassigned seats if I don't pay? Is this still an option not to pay?
Yes, it's an option not to pay.
I don't like that.
And you'll get the cattle call or you could pay. And, I mean, I don't know when you'll board or whatever, but you get an assigned seat.
So what's different about it? Couldn't you get that before? Oh, no, you can never get an assigned seat.
Never get an assigned seat. You could pay to get further up in the boarding process, but you could never pay to get an assigned seat.
I don't know how that – I don't see how that could ever work. Like, how are you going to have, like, some that are assigned seats and then the rest of it's just like, all right, it's a free-for-all in here? Because, like, what if you want to – like, are all the assigned seats going to be up front?
You have to board first.
Or can I say, like, I want to buy the very back row and I want to buy the aisle set. Like, do you get to pick that, or are they going to have – these are limited assigned seats and the rest of you
– I assume it's going to be – let's just say there's 20 rows. Maybe the first 8 rows or 10 rows are assigned. My assumption is they'll have a different color seat.
You know what I think needs to, which is a bigger issue than this, because I don't mind Southwest at all doing the open boarding. It's never bugged me. You just check in.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I get it. Like, I understand why it's frustrating. But
I don't want to have to sit there a day before, you know, waiting to check in so I don't get stuck in the middle.
It's not nearly the annoyance to me as what occurs, especially on Southwest because of the open seating, which is the person who will, I'm dropping my bag in row 4 and then walking back to row 21 to where people who walk in back now go, oh, there's no storage space left, and I've walked past it. Those people are worse than the poor deplaners. Those are the worst people. That's the type of person who would leave a note on the windshield saying, "You almost ran over me. I'm a father, son, brother."
It is the Neighborhood Watch every Thursday during the commercial-free expressway. We are live here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby from Oxnard, and it's Cowboys Camp 2024. All week and a half long on DFW Sports Station. Thank you for being a Tolo. And, of course, that stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. And thank you to our fantastic sponsors as well, responsible for the fan cam, for all the different confessionals and the hot seat, which Jake Ferguson will be sitting in at 8:40. That's props to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. Lincoln Riley says, "We don't know barbecue. It's not his grilling, it's his camera. RJ wants to get rid of the Rose Bowl. Pat McAfee going off on his own company again. And the press conference that everyone is talking about, the college football kegger, is next."
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.